Last night, candidates for U.S. House and Senate gathered in Riverton for a set of debates. They answered questions ranging from how to address the Medicare shortfall to their views on climate change and the energy industry. Wyoming Public Radio's Bob Beck was one of the moderators, and he joins us from Riverton to talk about the debate. So first of all, was there anything new that we learned about the candidates last night, things we hadn't heard them say before?
I'm not so sure we learned anything new. I thought it was sort of interesting on the House side of things that Representative Lummis, perhaps because of some of the maybe more conservative folks that were off the panel, she went a little more conservative. You heard her talking maybe a little bit more. Not that she hasn't talked about budget cuts in the past, but you heard him be a little more aggressive, the kinds of things that she would in fact cut, what she's very cautious about spending in the future. And I did think that you heard both Senator Barrasso and Representative Lummis point out that everything's on the table. Whether it would be funding, obviously, for public radio to many other cuts. I think Senator Barrasso expressed some concern about the Department of Education, wanting things done much more locally. So we heard him talk about that maybe a little bit in the past, but perhaps in a little more great detail. And you did get the impression that Senator Barrasso and Representative Lummis, should they get reelected, they're going to be the kinds of people who are very willing to really do a lot of cuts and are not going to be willing at all to be looking at any revenue increases, such as anything to do with taxes.
And of course, we had several third-party candidates in the debate, particularly the debate for U.S. House. We had a candidate from the Constitution Party, one from the Country Party, one from the Libertarian Party. And these third-party candidates all had fairly similar views on a lot of things. Why were they all running on separate tickets?
Well, what's interesting about this is they need to run and get enough support on the ballot in order to get their parties eligible for the next election. So if they get, I think it's 2% support, they'll all have an opportunity to get on legislative ballots. They'll have a chance to run for some other offices in the state. Now, why is that so important to them? Apparently, the Country Party thinks the Libertarians are just a little too liberal, a little too out there for them, because they have some concerns about some of their views. They also have some concerns about the Constitution Party. And so I think the Country Party sees themselves as the most conservative of the bunch, and so they believe that they're necessary. The Libertarian Party's been a longtime party in our state, but there are some values that they have that apparently the Constitution Party doesn't share. So that's the reason you see so many of them, because there is going to be an effort, and we're seeing it this year, to get these guys on the ballot so they don't have to go out and get signatures all the time in the future.
Let's shift to talking about the Democrats for a little bit. Obviously, the Democratic candidates for House and Senate have been operating on shoestring budgets. It's made it hard for them to get their views out there to voters. And these debates kind of give them a chance to make their case. How effective were they at doing that in this debate?
I thought Tim Chestnut really did a pretty darn good job in the U.S. Senate side of things. It was, it's tough. He doesn't have any money. He's, I think he spent $1,000, and he's been a county commissioner who, frankly, didn't spend a lot of money. But he was able to, get some viewpoints out, certainly express some opinions, such as I was impressed with his answer on not cutting science research money, as an example, which Senator Barrasso did support last night. That might have been something we hadn't heard before. But Commissioner Chestnut, I thought, did a nice job of explaining why you might want to not touch that kind of money. So that was interesting. I also thought Chris Hendrickson did a good job. He had a tough night because you had four people very conservative on that panel, and so he had to really make his case. And I thought at the end of the day he did express his viewpoint. This is a very smart individual, a very good candidate. But again, it's just so darn tough for them to score and do very well in a debate like that when everybody really does have a conservative viewpoint that truthfully is shared by the majority of Wyoming. And, did he do what he needed to do to win that election? Probably not, because I think most of the people in the state were more focused on some of the conservative viewpoints. But I thought he did make his case. And I think in a perfect world, if he has enough money, if he could go head-to-head with Representative Lummis and maybe has some legislative background in the future. I think he's a guy that really could be a very effective candidate in the future. But for his first shot, I thought he did fine, and I also thought Tim Chestnut did fine. And I also, for the most part, thought if you're conservative – and you're looking for something out of the mainstream, I thought the third-party candidates represented very well. We've seen some people in the past that you kind of wonder where they came from, and you might have wondered that if you didn't agree with this point of view of some of those folks. But, you know, they made their case, and they presented a good, solid argument for the way they see the world. And so I thought it was a very informative debate, if anything else.
I want to shift focus away from the debates last night for a little bit and talk about some of the constitutional amendments that are on the ballot this year. Can you give us a brief overview of what those amendments are?
Yeah, let me start at the bottom. Constitutional Amendment C, probably not a big deal. What this would allow is giving some of your court commissioners, these are the types of people that help judges, it gives them a little more power. Now, truthfully, what most of the district court judges have said is this is going to give these people the same kind of power that they have right now, but it's not necessarily spelled out in the Constitution that they can do some of the extra things they're doing now. And so the Supreme Court and the district courts are pushing very hard for the passage of this so they can allow these court commissioners to act on some juvenile cases that do have a time deadline when a district court judge is busy. And so that's one for people to decide philosophically on whether or not you think that's a good idea. Amendment B is basically putting in our Constitution the right to hunt. Now, why is that important? There is some concern by those who are very interested in hunting that at some point in time that might be outlawed, or there might be some gun laws that would make that difficult, whatever the concern might be. So they're pushing very hard to get this passed, not a very controversial one at all. I think the only negative I've ever heard to it is it maybe raises this type of recreation above cross-country skiing or something else that you might do. Maybe we need to put cross-country skiing in the Constitution or snowmobiling, I don't know. But that's what they're after here. I think the one that people are taking a long look at is Constitutional Amendment A. And what that would do, and I don't have the wording right in front of me, but it's a health care constitutional amendment. And it basically is intended to allow people in the state to not be forced to follow the Affordable Care Act. And so this was in response to what the Republicans like to call Obamacare. And that was 2 years ago when this was put on the ballot, and we had a very conservative legislative session that year. It's got some interesting wording in it, and one of the things that does have some people concerned is while it says maybe the federal government doesn't have a lot of power over an individual's health care in Wyoming, it does give the state of Wyoming a lot of power. And that is specifically spelled out in this constitutional amendment. And so if you're somebody who doesn't want government involved in your health care much at all, truthfully, you probably aren't going to like this constitutional amendment. It does give the state a lot of power, but takes the power away from the federal government. So it's an interesting thing that you would consider putting in your constitution. And you should scrutinize these amendments certainly all the time, because putting things in the constitution is very important. But I know there are people that have specifically circled Constitutional Amendment A as one to maybe take a very close look at.
All right. Bob Beck talking with us about last night's congressional debates and also about constitutional amendments that are on the ballot this year. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you very much.